Welcome to Fanfic Awfulcast. We have another episode brought to you by me, Bok Choi, and
Dram.
So, we're going to be reading Star Trek Nazis in Space by Dark Vamp Angle 101. You're in for a real treat. Okay, so chapter one, author's note. Hi there, one of my favorite bogs just did a post of remembering World War II reenactments, and it was so cool, so I thought it would he a great story idea. I hope you like it. Oh, also, Amy is back. She's better as this story. Yay, Ames. All right. That's cool. We'll figure out who Amy is, hopefully, through just, you know,
I wanna know
through
the story. Names.
Yeah. All right. Captain James T. Kirk stared out the window of the spaceship Enterprise. He was so bored. There was no Klingons around. No Romulans. Nothing at all. Even Spock's harping and Aurora's singing did not break the boredom. Kirk sighed and drank a coffee. They sent out some space probes that were scanning some stuff, and they were just waiting for those space probes to get back so they could go shoot at some stuff and have more fun space fights. Then suddenly, there was a big banging noise. Chekhov, what is that noise there? It's an anomaly, Captain, he said in Russian. Oh no, said Kirk, where did it come from? Space, said Chekhov. Oh no, said Kirk, get us out of here, Chekhov. Okay. Then Sulu said, hey, can we not get out of here? We are stuck. Red alert, everyone to battle station. Brace for impact, yelled Kirk. Then suddenly everything was very quiet. What happened? The anomaly reversed around, and now there appears to be a space shuttle coming through it towards us. It says on the side of it, the Freedom Eagle. Wow, that is a super name for a ship. Open hailing channel, Susu? Then Sulu did. Hi, my name is Captain Kirk of the Enterprise. Please identify yourself. And they got a response really fast. Hi, Captain Kirk. I fled here because I'm looking for asylum, the girl's voice said. Who are you and where are you from? Said Captain Kirk. My name is Heavenly Michaela Rose McTeer. I'm an American from your past, from 1948. Kirk and Sulu and Chekhov and Uhura gasped. Kirk shut off the phone and turned to Uhura. Can you do a scan and see if that's legit? Then Sulu said, I scanned. The writing is American-style writing, and the name Freedom and Eagle are very American things. The scan also shows that the metal is a kind of metal you get from the 1940s. There is structural damage to that metal. But how can that be? There was no spaceships in 1948, said Uhura. It's too early by like 20 years. We better figure this out. Let Miss McTeer dock in the shuttle bay and send a few red shirts down to meet her. Just in case, said Kirk.
Kirk decided to go along too because he was curious. Then he stood by as the shuttle spooped in. It was silver metal with lots of rivets on it and welding like old-time metal used to be. There was a big painted eagle on it and a big American flag and the word Freedom across the front and a small glass window in the front. He saw movement through the window but could not see who was inside it. Then the door opened and out came a person in an old-time spacesuit, the kind with a big fishbowl-type thing on the head. All the security officers pointed their guns at the person in the spacesuit. Please do not shoot me. I am unarmed, a soft and girlish voice said. Take that helmet off, said one of the officers. Kirk frowned at that officer because he was being rude. Then the person reached up and pulled off her helmet. Kirk nearly gasped. In front of him was the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. Waist-length blonde hair had fallen out of her hat. She had red lips and round eyebrows. There were natural lavender streaks in her long hair. Her eyes were naturally violent, with specks of silver in them. She looked no older than 18.
Naturally violent, by the way. I just love that idea.
And, you know, no older than 18.
Yeah, no older than... Look, let's not be gross. She's not older than 18.
I mean, we want to set that bar. Fucking God, let me introduce myself, said Kirk. I am James T. Kirk. I command this ship. I'm Heavenly. Her voice trailed off and her eyes opened and shut quickly. Suddenly, she started to swoon. Kirk ran ahead and caught her as she fell. Oh, thank you. You caught me. Her voice was very soft and weak, but also very beautiful. I am so totally out of it. You see, I had to take the ship too fast. I had to get away from the USA, and I... Then she blacked out. Kirk gasped. He could not let this beautiful and innocent young girl die. Kirk to bones, you gotta get to the bay. It's a medical emergency. Author's note. Yes, I know. There is no enemy yet, but do not worry. The bad guys are coming, son.
Author's note, I wasn't going to put this chapter up, but because of the very said of Leonard Nimoy, I wrote this. Rip, whoop, cock, ripock, we all miss you in heaven. while Captain Kirk was in the shuttle bay with Heavenly. Then Spock came in and he looked really good. "Spock, this is a girl named Heavenly," said Kirk. "Yes, of course, Captain." "She says she's from Earth, the USA," yelled Kirk. "Naturally, Captain. Look at her Eagle spaceship, and it is called Freedom." "Actually," said Heavenly, "I'm from 1947 in a country called America. We're being attacked in America by the Nazis. I guess you're not Nazis because you have black people and women here, and those bad Germany people do not look like anyone except the white blonde people." "No, that cannot be," said Kirik. "Nobody has spaceships until the 50s, and then there was not even warp drives until Zefram Cochrane." "Who the deuce is Zefram Cochrane?" said Heavenly, looking so confused. "What is going on here? Are you Americans? Because you sure sound like it." "Actually, Captain, it is quite logical. We sent a probe into a temporal anomaly." Spock looked really Vulcan as he was explaining with double X's. "Then the probe hit the Earth and almost certainly got found by one of the World War II Natan states. Aught seems, we have radically altered history." "Oh no," said Kirk. Then Heavenly passed out. Spock, with his Vulcan arm, carried her away to the medical bay, where there was Dr. McCoy. But Spock was kind of worried. After all, Captain Kirk was looking at Heavenly with a look that was very lustful and gross.
Field Marshal Heinrich von Weizmann looked around his spaceship. It had some swastika and other ugly crap decorating it. Wow, it was great being German. The 1940s were the awesomest. Germany was now a big country that included France and Portugal and Wales and all the other countries that border Germany. They had a leader named Heidler, who was a very exciting speaker who writes a book called Mein Kampf. And then it's 1946 sequel, Mein Kampf 2. They were both best sellers. He owned 2 first editions, both signed by the Führer. Heinrich had not really liked France because they all drank and smoked there. Then, when he invaded England, he did not like it because everyone drank beer and soccer and ate mashy peas. But when they found a magic space probe that fell from the sky, well, that was amazing. And when he got his own spaceship to invade America, well, that was amazingly cool too. Except, when he went to America, it was not what he expected. He expected to have Merca, except he secretly did not. He loved it. There, he got Slurpee and Doritos and got to watch Columbo and Family Ties on TV.
Get fucked.
In America, he got to eat at Cheesecake Factory.
Get fucked.
And shop at DSW and Hot Topic and go to see Disney movies like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. Not like in Germany, where he got to eat schnitzel and wurst and Olympics. He felt very bad that he secretly loved the USA. And then, in Ohio, he met the most beautiful girl in the whole world. Her name was Heavenly, with 2 E's. She was blonde and beautiful, and as soon as he saw her, he knew he had to have her as his wife. She had been working in the fields in a beautiful dress, and he thinks she is just a simple, stunning farm girl. But then, he used his Nazi spaceship Scanners and discovered that the rebel spaceship he had been chasing was piloted by Heavenly. So he chased her, even when her ship, the Freedom Eagle, disappeared through this weird holy thing in space. Author's note, I hope you finding this good so far. We have met our first bad guy.
Jesus fuck. Cue Thor's note. Hi guys, new captor. Please read and review, and flams are not allowed. If you flam me, I will report you to the fanfiction police. Then you will get your account deeted or locked all right, cool. So just write nice stuff and do not be a jerk. Chapter 3, Heavenly's Pain. When Heavenly woke up, she was looking into crystalline pools of limpid eyes. They were Chekhov's eyes. Then also there was Bones McCoy standing beside Chekhov. They both looked so sad that Heavenly was sick and lying in bed. What? Oh, okay, man. Okay, I understand now. Captain Heavenly, said the Russian one, you woke up. Yes, she woke up, said McCoy. I thought you might die from space speeding sickness, but you're stronger than most people and you have recovered in a matter of minutes instead of the months that it can take to heal from this illness. Heavenly felt so happy that she survived that she said a quick sinner's prayer. McCoy and Chekhov seemed really awed by her praying and smiled. Praying with the E. Then Heavenly talked some more. Actually, it's Duchess. Or Doctor, if you prefer. I was made Duchess of England when I acted as a spy with James Bond. We stole the aspects of the alien UFO that landed in Germany in 1944. Alien specs. Fuck, where? I just saw him. Alien specs, said Kirk, and Heaven Lee realized he was standing in the shadowy secret corner. What were those? They were what we think is a space probe that fell in Salzburg in 1944. It was made of a metal tat we did not recognize and came from a very intelligent and advanced alien race by its far advanced technology. But these aliens spoke English. The side of this probe, the side of this probe said Enterprise with an E. The Germans founded and developed a whole load of space fighters based on that new technology. That is why America and England, in the last mission before England was taken over by Hitler, worked together to steal the spaceship specification. And you did that? Kirk asked. You are just an icon.
I am one of the most skilled scientists in America. I have a PhD in astrophysics from Yale. Singular physics. And a PhD in Englaneering from Oxford. She sighed. Just because I am 17 does not mean I am incompetent. No, of course not, said McCoy. So tell us what happened next. I am on the edge of my bio bed. Get it, it's a joke.
No. No, I don't get it.
He really wanted you to.
I don't understand. It's not... I don't know what a biobed is, but it sounds like it's not a replacement for a seat.
Well, he was on it. Then Heavenly cried as the memories came back of her. And James, her fiancé, he was so suave and sophisticated. He wore suits and was loaded. He even had an English accent, which was the best accent for a guy, except maybe Norwegian. My friend Kevin's family is from Norway originally, and he got a cousin fisting right now.
Excuse me? No, I don't think... It's not fist... It's... Fisting, but that's awfully close.
Oh, whoops. Whose name is Knut? So exotic. Smiles. Smiles with a wink.
Cousin fisting right now. No. No.
Well, me and James Bond stole the spacecraft specs, and we were supposed to be married, me and James Bond, but an evil German killed James with a gun. Then I was so sad that I volunteered to be America's first fighter spaceship pilot, and that is how I got on the Ferdinand Eagle. Unfortunately, there is this super creepy German guy who keeps following me in his Sopas ship, so I had to run away through this space anomaly thing. His name is Henrik von Witzmann, and he is old, not like all you young astronauts in Starfleet. Lame. Lame indeed, said Spock. But logical, too.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to start saying that. Lame indeed, but logical, too.
Lame indeed. Then Kirk curled his hand into a fist. Damn it, how can you be so logical when this brilliant and beautiful girl has been through so much? Yeah, said McCoy and Chekhov. She is a duchess and a scholar and beautiful, too. No offense intended, Miss Dr. Heavenly, said Heavenly thought Spock was mysterious and brilliant, so she just nodded and watched his dark and mysterious eyes as he apologized. She watnid to talk to him, but suddenly red alert, and the red lights came on. Nazis are approaching the Enterprise in their German spaceship.
My favorite part was, so it's watched his dark in Mr. Yu's eyes. All right.
Kind of have Mr. Yu's eyes.
Chapter 4. Oh, hell yeah. That is fan-fucking-tastic. Chapter 4, The Porpoisal. Yes. Yes, it's so good. Oh, The Porpoisal. I'm sorry.
We're going to put a picture of this podcast episode with The Porpoisal.
It's definitely a Porpoisal. Fuck me. That's such a good... Chapter 4, The Porpoisal. They got hailed by the German Nazi ship. Hello, this is Captain Marshall von Heinrich. Heil Hitler! I am from Deutschland. In fact, I am from Berlin, said a thick German accent. Have you guys happened to see a girl in a spaceship? I am racking her down because we have discovered that Americans have built a spaceship. It is called the Freedom Eagle. We cannot allow these Americans to build spaceships, or else the Third Reich will be doomed. Kirk pressed a button so that the marshal could not hear the Enterprise crew. Hey, it seems like he thinks we are Germans as well, yelled Spock. Yes, Heaven Lee sighed delicately. Only Germany has spaceships. The war is not going well. The only people that are safe from the clutches of the German Japanese alliance are the Canadians and the Americans. The Japanese have overrun the Australia and China, and the Germans took over all of Europe. Oh my god, that was not supposed to happen. That is all. That is the wrong history. We did that with our space probe we sent through that anomaly, and it must have completely altered the course of history. Then Kirk got that back on the communicator. Hi there, Captain. My name is, Adolf? I haven't seen any Americans or Freedom Eagles, but I'll keep the lookout. I do not believe you. You are speaking English. You must be hiding that girl, yelled Heinrich. Verlaster Cannon, Frederick! Then there was a laser cannon hitting the side of the Enterprise, but it was so advanced that it did not barely make a dent in the side of the ship. Then Chekhov fired faders and they disabled the German ship. It smoked and was on fire, but it did not blow up. Hey, stop firing, said Heinrich. We surrender, American scums.
Great, transport this evil Nazi to the transporter room, please. Have a security team meet him down there. We would not want a repeat of Khan and his augments. Hmm? Then, Heavenly went down to the transporter room with Kirk and Spock.
That's so great.
Spock. Spock. When Heinrich appeared to the transporter, he looked angry. But once he saw Heavenly, his eyes widened. Oh, it is you, Heavenly, my love, the most beautiful woman in the world, nay, the galaxy. You are so blonde and blue-eyed, just as we Germans think are perfect. Heavenly frowned. You are discussing. He happens to be discussing something. Yep. I am no more beautiful than Uhura or Nurse Chapley when she is a brunette. God does not care if you are blonde or if you are black or if you are oriental.
Excuse me?
Ha ha ha, you stupid girl. You are wrong, said Heinrich. But I will still make you my wife. I promise you that. Then Heinrich tried to jump off the transporter pad and kiss Heavenly, and she screamed. But she could not run because she was wearing a beautiful long dress that was pale pink underlay with a overlay of black lace and delicate scallop lace sleeves down to her elbows and beautiful black floral embroideries over the lace. This person's username was like Dark Vamp or something.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, this reminds me a lot of that.
God. You can see it here.
Probably on purpose. But yeah, that's a pretty decent, intentional or not, that's a good callback to fucking Darkness, Ebony, Dementia, Raven Way.
Lots of lace and stuff.
Yep.
You can see it here, shop, dresses, walking on era dresses. Not on my watch, yelled Spock, then Kirk fired a faster at Heinrich and he fell to the floor. Then they carried him away to the brig. Oh, I think I might faint, yelled Heavenly. Then Spock caught her and she said, I just need some water, okay? Then they went to the rec room and Heavenly got a glass of grapefruit juice. And Spock got some too and Kirk drank a beer. Then Spock played his harp and Kirk played some 3D chess. Heavenly felt better and more clam than she had for many months. And eventually she fell asleep on a chaise nearby. Athor's note. Hi, everyone. I hope you like this updating. Also, happy Easter for all of you. And thanks to my beta, one is a UA. You are the best.
Grapefruit juice is like, I have to know. I love that.
You drink it with a grip.
No, it's not even a grip, right? It's just, I just love the idea of grapefruit. Like, something about grapefruit sounds fucking great. I love that idea. Grapefruit. All right. Grapefruit.
I got a recall on our grapefruits.
All right. Chapter 5. Chekhov Sacrifice. I'm sorry. It's not called Chekhov Sacrifice. I'm wrong. It's Chekhov's Sacrifice. Good one. Love it.
Sacrifice.
Heavenly woke up and there was Chekhov standing over here. She had fallen asleep in the rec room and he had come in. Hey, Chekhov, what are you doing here, she said. Where is Spock and Kirik? I don't know, said Chekhov in Russian. but I came in to make sure that evil Dati did not get you because he has escaped. No, said Heavenly, that cannot be. It is true, said Chekhov. Here is a phaser. Whew. Then she took a phaser. Suddenly, the doors in the rec room popped open and in came a bunch of Nazi guys, and they looked really disgusting and oily, just like the ones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. The main Nazi guy looked like the really gross little guy from that movie. Also, Chekhov looked a lot like India Jones. Except he did not have any hat or whip, and he wore a Starfleet uniform. Just like India Jones. Guten Morgen, Fraulein Heavenly, said the nasty main Nazi. Ich heiße Commandant Cross from the American spaceship SS Adler. We managed to sneak onto the ship when they were getting overrun with those cute little tribbles. Ha ha ha, they never saw us coming. But now we will take you back to our ship so our fearless leader can have you for his wife. I don't know what accent I'm doing. It's not German, and I don't apologize.
I can hear the German, though.
It's struggling to get out. I don't apologize. I want to let that be known. Then Chekhov said, not if I can help it. He started firing his phaser. He shot one Nazi, then another, and then another. But then his phaser ran out of battery power, and he did not have a replacement or a charger on him, so he had to turn it off. The Nazis were shooting a billion bullets at Heavenly and Chekhov, but they did not hit them, and it is as if they were protected by an invisible shield. Chekhov saw a curtain nearby and grabbed the curtain rope, and he used it like a whip, just like Indiana Jones, and he managed to whip and pull the gun away from the most disgusting Nazi Commandant Cross.
Oh no, he used the curtains and his skill to steal my gun away. Retreat to our Nazi stronghold in the cafeteria, said Cross. Then the couple of remaining Nazis ran away. A bunch of them lay passed out on the floor. Chekhov and Heavenly used the rest of the curtain ropes to tie them up tightly, and also then stole away all their Huns and knives.
Not their Huns!
They need their Huns. Damn it. They need them. That way, they would not attack anyone. We are in a lot of trouble, Heavenly. I do not want you to get hurt, said Chekhov. If they are hiding in the cafeteria, that means that they prob have not taken the bridge yet. Quick, let us get in the tubs. That was his plan the whole time. He has his only intention to climb up the ladders to the bridge. Then Chekhov opened up Jeffrey's tub. It's still a tub. Heavenly climbed inside. Come on, Chekhov, hurry up, said Heavenly. No, I will stay here and protect you. I can hear them coming. Heavenly started to say no, but then Chekhov frowned and slammed the door shut and locked her in, so she had no choice. What a hero, she thought to herself as she started to climb up the ladder to get to the bridge and hopefully to find Spock and Kirk and save the ship from the evil Nazis of the 20th century. Hi guys, one OP'd two like this. One, it was not petite as good as list one, but that was due to time constraints by my cosine. She had exams, but paced them all. Yay for her, very smart. Lots of love, Chandra Courtney.
Chapter 6. Overrun. Heavenly going up the ladder. It was a very long, dark. What the fuck?
Yours is actually in bold too.
Yeah, mine's just in bold. I thought this was an author's note.
The first paragraph.
Is like, yeah, bold. What the fuck? All right. Heavenly going up the ladder. It was a very long ladder. She kept going and going. I'm sorry. She kept going and gong and jiong. It was very drac and there was no sounds, and she became quite scarred. Because there was a something booming noise. The ship shook. She said a silence prayer for Chekhov so he would be okay down there with the Nazis. Alright.
Nazis.
Yeah, Nazis. Then suddenly there was a cracking noise, and she looked down the Jeffrey's tube, and she saw there was a bad guy who had opened a door below her.
She's on a face.
I don't understand. Hey, what are you doing there? Are you Starfleet? He asked. Leave me alone, you evil man, she yelled back and kicked her boot off, and it fell down the tube and hit the Nazi in the face, and he screamed a lot in pain because she'd aimed it right toward his eyeball. I will get you, you evil Bick. I recognize you. You are Heavenly, our captain's woman, she said, and then started screaming in pain again. Never, yelled Heavenly and ran up the ladder some more. Heavenly was really quick because she was so thin, and she outran that fat Nazi with a busted eye below her. He was chasing her still when she got to the door painted with the word bridge, and she pooped it open.
I knew it.
Then she saw Kirk and Spock and Uhura and Chekov. OMG, Chandra, yelled Kirk. You are okay. We thought you were catched by the Nazis.
Chandra come in.
Chandra Heavenly, no problem. I guess we put two and two together. No, I'm okay, but there was one of the bad guys behind me. Get down, yelled Sully, and he grabbed his katana out. Then Heavenly was so shocked that she was frozen. Spock realized she was frozen and could not move from in front of the Jeffries tube, and he grabbed her and pushed her out of the way. Just in time, because there was a Nazi behind her. That guy she dropped her shoe on his eyeball, and he had a knife, and he was going to stab her. But then Sulk ran toward him with his Japanese katana. He stuck through him with the katana, and then the Nazi screamed a lot, and blood squirted out from the hole in the middle of his body where there's a katana stuck in him. Everyone had to step back so it would not get blood on their nice uniform.
He will not be hating not white people anymore, yelled Sulu. Then everybody laughed, and the Nazi guy fell down, and as he did, he yelled, I will get my revenge against you, Heavenly. You're not going to heaven, you're going to hell along with Hitler, laughed Kirk, and then Sulu took his katana out, and the guy was dead. Then Spock turned to Heavenly. How do you get here? There are Nazis that are all over the ship, not to mention Tribbles as well. Last we saw you were downstairs in the rec room. There was Nazis all over that area. She sighed and almost cried. Chekov, he was so brave, just like Indiana Jones. He fight off all the Nazis with just a string Jesus for curtains, fuck. Which he used like a whip at them. And then he stayed down there to beat them off us that I have a chance to live. Then everyone gasped and was so amazing by Chekhov's bravery, because what likely was it that he live after fight off 100 evil Nazis using just a string from the draps? Especially when the Nazis all had guns and bullets. Kirk looked really sad, and Uhuru and Sulu. Spock looked not that sad because he was Vulcan, but Heavenly was so sensitive that she could tell that inside Spock was actually hearth broken, that poor Chekov was probably dead, shot to death by evil 20th century Nazis.
Okay, hold on a second. It clearly said at the beginning of this fucking chapter, towards the beginning of this chapter, that when she came onto the bridge, yeah, she got to the door painted with the word bridge and she pooped it open. Then she saw Kirk, Spock, Uhura, and Chekov. Chekov's here!
But on the bridge. But he's not.
Hold on a second.
They went through the anomaly.
Wait. And then Sulu's here. Like, Sulu just appears. So yeah. Chekov's here. Sulu isn't here. Then Sulu kills him, and I guess Chekov's left behind for dead. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
This is weird. They're actually traveling through the anomaly.
You know what it is. Yeah, no. This is a classic doppelganger situation. Yeah. They got some sort of shapeshifter. That's the problem.
Everybody, there is an identical ship on the other side of this invisible barrier.
No. What I think happened is there was a shapeshifter on board, and when she got to the bridge, it was Chekov. And then she's like, "Oh my god!" She looked away, and when she looked back, it was Sulu.
That's how far this author is thinking. When he's
look, man. There's a lot of elements here we need to draw upon.
this really puts it together when you give it that glue. What are we going to do with the ship slowly being overrun with these bad guys? Said Kirk. We got no option left. No, I refuse to believe that is true. We must fight back. America always fights back. Freedom, fredom, prevails, shouted Heavenly, and Spock nodded. True and logical. We should listen to her, Captain, he said. Then everyone stood around trying to think up something to beat them with, but they did not think up any plans. It was very hard. I am stumped, said Spock. Me too, totally, said Uhura. I do not think we can beat them with the Kataka, said Sulu. I guess we got no option except self-destruct, said Kirk. No, said everyone, but nobody can think of another idea. So Kirk went to the computer desk to start the program to blow up the Enterprise. But then Heavenly gasped. I have an idea. It will be dangerous, but I think it can work. Author note. I hope you're on pens and needles to see what plot is going to be. As you prob guess, I did not really beta this. Just got this checker really fat. I am real tired of people commenting about spelling grammar. Look, guys, I know for some of you that is super important, more than plot, cool characters, and all that rest of good stuff in a study. But honestly, I hate waiting axing people to beta all the time, waiting for them to finish just for some dumb spelling stuff, and I want to get my stories up fast. I got...
That's amazing!
I got dystopiska, as I told you boys before, and I have done way better now than before. Just compare this chapter to some of my beginning stories to see how much better now. So I wish people would just stop couplaining. I bet you're not perfect too.
She's got a point.
She really does. No one is.
Got a point. No one's perfect. Chapter 7. Cameo fighting back. Author's note. No beta this time. Sorry. But Sarah is not here no more. She is visit cosigns in Virginia. Also, my brother busy with basketball, and my sister say she only went to focusing on Snowick the Hedge, the Hegog story, and Esther maybe not the best. Get lots of complaints when she did the beta. So I just left it, whatever, beside. I think it's very exiting. Cameo in this chapter. Heaven Lee went down the ladder with Captain Kirik and also spoke, and they were quiet with Solemnity. Because they were going to kill the Nazis, and Heaven Lee was in a very nice looking wedding dress down to her ankles with lots of crystals and lace and an umpire waist? Wait a minute. What's an umpire waist?
I'll have to Google that one.
Because it's umpire with a U, waist as in like garbage. What the fuck? An umpire waist and long sleeve that had little white button on it and a neck that went up. And it had lots of Swarovski crystals around the hem and neck. She also had a veil that was covered in Sorkovsky crystals? What the fuck? And she had very pretty white Prada high heel shoes with little bows on it made out of silver. What the fuck?
That's the umpire waist. I mean, the umpire waist.
That's an umpire waist? What is this?
An umpire waist.
Did you just Google
It's based on the Empire silhouette.
Oh, it's an empire.
Mm-hmm. But it's in Star Trek, so it has to be umpire.
Right, okay. All right. I'm hoping this works, said Captain Kirk. Me too, but it is logical, sir, said Spock. But Heavenly kept quiet as they kept going down the ladder, because she was very nervous about meeting the evil general again. Then they got to the bottom and opened the door, and they screamed because there was a guy right at the door. Was it a Nazi? No! It was Indiana Jones! Heavenly gasped and said, "It is Indiana Jones." "Who the heck is that?" said Kirk. What the fuck?
Spock looked at Kirk as if he were really stupid. Only one of the greatest archaeologists in history. He hates the Nazis, so they are always trying to capture him and kill him because he, every time, foils their plans. Wow, said Indiana. Are you the legendary American spaceship pilot and engineer Heavenly, the one who was supposed to marrying James Bond? Said Indiana. Yes, that is me. How do you now me explain yourself? She screamed. Indiana looked very sad, and the three of them all looked wrapped with intention as he told his story.
Wrapped intention. I love that.
They're wrapping the intention. Once upon a time, I was the best friend of a guy who was named James Ond. We grow up together. Whenever I stay in England, country for digging up artifacts with my dad, when war comes, we both know we gotta go against the evil Nazis because they are trying to get the artifacts that will make them evil superpower. James goes to the MI4, and I go looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And then, after I almost got died with the Marion Wavenwood, I discover James is dead from Nazi. But before he did, he told me to look after you if you ever get in trouble.
Course.
If he is dead. So, when you got in a spaceship and were being chased by Nazis, I sneaked into the Nazi ship and pretended I was a Nazi too. Oh,
get fucked.
Oh, BTW. If any person asks my name, is not Indiana Jones. It is Angelo Merkel.
Get fucked.
I am a junior commandant in the Nazi armies. Oh, wow. That is amazing, said Kirk. Any help we can get will be great. Amazing and logical, too, said Spock. Let's go shoot some Nazis. They were in the recreation room. Now Indiana and Spock and Kirk and Heavenly. The Nazis that Chekhov had killed were still all tied up in the corner and were only partly awake. Indiana had him with him a big bag, and he unzipped it, and he started handing out MK-47s to everyone.
What the shit?
Heavenly also had her nuncucks.
Excuse me? No. Had her nuncucks, actually?
Had her nuncucks.
Nuncucks. Classic. Nuncucks.
She had them under her dress, and Kirk had his knives for throwing, and Spock had a bunch of things that were from Vulcan, and on Earth, they resembled throwing stars. Spock put a headband on, just like in that movie with the whales. He looked badass. Imagine some really loud rock music in background, and they're stepping out with their guns slow-mo. Let's kick some Nazis back to the 29th century, said Kirk, and they all said, yeah.
Chapter 8, A Complex Pan. Hi, yeah, look, I'm looking for a pan. What kind of pan are you looking for? Like a saucepan, like a 12-inch saute pan. I'm looking for a complex pan.
We have those on level 8.
Yeah, can you point me to your complex pans? Preferably, it's, extra dimensional.
We have a deal this week.
All right, author's note. I hope all you Winnie people are happy I got this beta'd by Amy, so it should be better than the last one. To all you real fans of fuffiction, this chappy will make you really happy with the act on. Also, I work very hard to put legitimate Germany names in the story and name every Germa person I ever known. Heavenly Spock, Kirk, Chekhov, and Indiana Jones all stormed into the hallways with their semi-automatic machine guns. From a nearby room, out popped a Nazi. Ha ha ha, it is the Commandant's blonde girlfriend, he yelled. He laughed evilly. My name is Heidel Klum, and I will take you to our Field Marshal Heinrich. He has been waiting for you for so long, Heavenly. You are not touching our woman, you Nazi scum, yelled Spock, and he blew off his head with one shot from his AK-47. Jesus. Then Kirk, Chekhov's back, Heavenly, and Indiana Jones all cheered. Hell yeah. Then out the next door popped another one of those Nazis. Aha! There you are, Heavenly. Let me introduce myself. I am Junior Commandant Wolfgang Puck. Our field marshal has told all of us we will get a great big promotion to be the Emperor of New German USA if we manage to capture you and bring you to him. I'm sorry, bring him to you. My dreams of being Emperor of Ohio are sure to come true. I don't think so, yelled Captain Kirk. Nobody is ruining Ohio on my watch. Get him, Indiana Jones. What? Then Indiana Jones hit his whip out, and then it was such a sharp whip, and Indiana Jones was so strong, it almost cut off the head of Wolfgang Puck, and he was dead. And then almost as fast, another Nazi came out and Captain Kirk threw his throwing knives at him and killed him. On his uniform was a name tag that said, Commandant Amadeus Mozart. Then more Nazis came. Spock killed them with his throwing spears and Heavenly blasted them with her semi-automatic machine gun until the corridor was full of dead Nazis. I think we got them, said Spock. Then Heavenly had an idea. I think I have an idea, a really good one. Look at how hard these guys are trying to catch me to bring me to Von Witzmann. Clearly they really want to get me to their field marshal in one piece. He must really want to marry you, said Kirk. Obviously, considering your countenance and modesty, it is only logical, said Spock happily. Heavenly blushed happily because Spock was really cute. Then Indiana Jones said, what is it then? It is my idea, said Heavenly. I'll pretend to get caught, and then to marry him. I will take one of you along and pretend I need you to be as my witless. The rest of you sneak in and rescue me before I'm unwilling wedded to that evil man. That is a great idea, said Indiana Jones. Yes, and so logical, I wonder why I did not think of it, shouted Spock. It seems Dagnaras, but it is our only option at this point, I think, said Kirk. Do it. And take Spock in with you, because he is Vulcan and can do that mind meld thing if worse comes to worse. Okay, said Heavenly.
Then she went into a closet and took off her blue American spaceship pilot uniform, and instead she put on a beautiful white wedding dress so she would trick the field marshal into thinking she really wanted to marry him. It had an umpire waist.
More umpire waists!
Based off the Empire silhouette designs. And it had lace sleeves and a high neck and had Prada shoes with silver bows on it and Swarovski crystals on the arms and skirt and neck, and it had large bows on the small of the back and small pearls all over it so that under the lights it sparkled like a million stars. It was so shiny and classy and beautiful. How can he not decide to marry you when you look like that? Said Indiana Jones.
Fuck's sake. Back,
I want to marry you right now. Me too, said Kirk. I saw her first. I cannot marry you. I am not over James Bond yet. A single crystal tear slid down her porcelain cheeks. Then they looked sad. The Indiana Jones and Kirk hid, and then Spock and Heavenly hid their guns inside their clothes and walked out down the hallway. Then a Nazi came from the door. I got you, he said. I am Junior Commandant Felix Mendelssohn, and I am to escort you to meet your future husband, Field Marshal Heinrich von Witzmann. Oh, no, Spock, Heavenly said dramatically. We got caught, but that Heinrich is so manly. I have for many weeks tried to pretend like I did not want to talk to him when I really felt like I did not, like I did want to talk to him. Wow, the Field Marshal will be so excited to hear you say that. Just let me kill this Vulcan guy, and we'll get on our way, Captain Heavenly, said Felix Mendelssohn. No, he is my friend, said Heavenly. I will be really sad if you kill him, and then I refuse to talk to this Field Marshal guy if you kill my pal Spock. I think I got to shoot him anyway. I can't watch two of you at once, said Felix Mendelssohn. But just then Indiana Jones appeared, but he was now wearing a Nazi uniform. He winked at Spock and Heavenly. Oh, hi, my name is Nazi Officer Angela Merkel.
Oh, God, my... Jesus Christ.
I have seen you around, Angela Merkel, said Felix Mendelssohn. Are you here to help me capture this Vulcan and this American spaceship heroine? I am. I will help you guard this Vulcan guy. Super! Field Marshal von Witzmann will give us both big promotions when we tell him we got his girlfriend for him. I can be Emperor of New York State. And hey, maybe you can take Minnesota. Sure, what said Indiana Jones, posing as Angela Merkel, but both Spock and Heavenly knew he was only pretending. You two prisoners better follow me, or else. Yes, sir, said Heavenly, then whispered to Spock, come on, let's retake the ship. Spock nodded.
Chapter 9, The Wedding. Hi, guy. I had a bard week and waited to drive to Boots and Hurt's concert near Barry, but Amy Carr have to go for repairs. Oh, well, I heard it full of fits anyway, so, hope you have good civic holidays. Sad face. Then my internet did not woking, so cold not posted this. That sucks, eh. So then Wolfgang Puck escorted them through the hallway to a place where lots of Germans was. It was in the bowels of the ship. Spock looked really handsome. Wow, this is decorated just like an old Oktoberfest fest hall, I said to Spock. Interesting. All right, so this is the first person now. Spock said, yes, like Germans in Waterloo. Then Spock and Heavenly walked into a really big room. This was the room of Field Marshal. Ah, so we have captured you, Heavenly, said the Field Marshal. He looked just like the guy from Tangled. Then Heavenly made some poppy dog eyes. Oh, Field Marshal, you are just the most handsome man I've ever met, she cried. I realized that I was wrong about you before. These Enterprise crew members are fools to disobey you. You are certain to become king of the USA once we get back to our time. Really? Said the Field Marshal. Then why is that Vulcan dude here? Then Heavenly hissed, I think he is on to us. But Spock had it under control. Heavenly is very smart. She has explained to you that Germans have a superior firepower and a lot of army. It is just a matter of time that you are going to win, especially once you and Heavenly are wedded and her intelligence are paired with yours. After the wedding, we will serially destroy Kirk and the Enterprise. Are you sure, Wolfgang Puck? Are you sure, Wolfgang Puck? Asked the Field Marshal. Do you think she is telling the truth? And then Wolfgang Puck said, yeah. Okay, then let's get hitched. Your fiend Spock can be your man of honor. Cool, said Spock, and logical too. So then Heavenly put on a gauzy gown with lace leaf, and it went to her ankles. She put on a big satin belt with diamonds on it and a veil that went down her whole back. She looked just like Pippa Middleton at Kate and William's wedding. Wow, so amazing. Her shoes were from the company called Prada, and they were white and silver. Thank God that's clarified.
Field Marshal Heinrich von Witzmann had no pastor. To do the vows, he got Heidi Klum.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's a Freudian slip. Supermodal to do it. Heavenly almost vomited once she stood in front of him pretending to be his soon-to-be wife. Also, he had bad breath. Do you, Heinrich von Witzmann, take Heavenly to be your lawfully wedded wife? I do, he said, and pulled out a cheap-looking ring. It was just a plain diamond. I got this just in case a woman decided to marry me, and now you have. Do you, Heavenly, take our fearless field marshal to be your lawfully wedded husband? Sasked Heidi Klum, with Spock looking on jealously. I do. Not, yelled Heavenly as she saw a flash of yellow from behind the nearby transporter. Then she pulled a machine gun out of her collar and so did Spock, and they started spraying bullets through the bodies of all the Nazis who invaded the Enterprise. Kirk threw his throwing knives, and Chekhov used his gun to kill the Nazis. Then Heavenly pulled out her katana and tried to run it through the Field Marshal Woodsman, but he suddenly used a sight-to-sight transport, and he vanished. Damn it, yelled Kirk. Those damn Nazis in space. God, I wonder where he could have transported to, asked Spock. How illogical. We have the ship back at least, said Heavenly. Always look on the bright side of things. Yes, I could marry you right now. You are standing here looking so ravishing, Kirk cried. Surely you would not agree to such an illogical proposal, said Spock. Spock looked at her with a Vulcan deep expression, and she can almost
see hate this so much.
Some internal turmoil. Perhaps even hint of jealousy? No, that cannot be. After all, he is a Vulcan. He is all logic, all the time, even when surrounded by dead Nazis. Then they heard a voice. It was Uhura. Hello, Captain. We have retaken the ship. All the Nazis are either dead or surrendering. I have taken liberties of transporting them into space, as we cannot take prisoners of war. We don't got space for them. Excellent work, Uhura. Let's try to find that marshal now. Okay, Captain. I've pushed some buttons, and I have located the field marshal. He has long transported to Kronos, the Klingon home world. No, said Kirk. I will avenge him. Author's note without an intro. Okay, short chappy guys, but I hope you like it anyhow. Tried to make action packed and with some celebrity cameos and also with a twist in the pot at the end.
I'd like to point out it's Kronos the Klingon homeworld. Clearly a different place than Klingon.
I really said that wrong.
Klingon.
He calls it the Klingons.
Chapter 10, Klingons. Heavenly ran to the bridge with Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov. Chekhov's back! We got a problem, Captain, said Uhura. It is those nasty Germans we transported into space. What is the problem, Uhura? He asked back. A couple of them managed to swim through space and back to their spaceship before they had a chance to die. They are not dead. They are in their spaceship, and now it is commanded by Wolfgang Puck. Damn you, Wolfgang Puck, you Nazi space traitor, screamed Kirk as he fell to his feet in emotional pain. Captain, you must stand up so you can command the ship, and we have to figure out how to defeating Wolfgang Puck's ship and also the Field Commandant who has transported the Klingon homeworld. Homeworld, sorry. You are right, of course, as always, my dear Spock, said Kirk in not a gay way. All right. Okay. Captain, I got an idea, said Heavenly. Why don't we put a bunch of photon torpedoes onto the Freedom Eagle? Egel. and make it into a warship. Amazing idea. Soxty and Chekhov, please get on it right away. I will assign you to command that ship, and you can take a couple of the crew with you to help you out. I volunteer, sir. After all, I have knowing of all sorts of eras of history, and will be familiar with the spaceship interior of that time. I am Vulcan, said Spock. That sounds super, said Kirk. Okay, let's do it, people. Sir, we are getting good communication from the German ship. It is priority one. Put it through, Aura, shouted Kirk.
Then there was on the view screen a image of some Nazis. The one in the fancier uniform was Wolfgang Puck, the famous Nazi. Note, just a reminder, in real life, Mr. Puck is not a Nazi. He is just a German guy who makes expensive pizzas and sells a pressure oven on TV commercials. Besides him was Heidi Klum, supermodel. She was also wearing a uniform. Note, she is not a Nazi either. In fact, she is opposite of that. She married black guy before she is just German. And I wanted to use a real German names to make it realistic. Hello!
So realistic.
I am the Captain Puck, and this is my second-in-command, Commander Klum. We are here to say we are going to taking revenge on you for killing our field commandant, von Wittmann, when all he want was to take his true love, Heavenly, as his lawfully wedded wife. Yes, you stand in way of true love, said Heidi Klum. Heil Hitler! Do not speak of love and the Fuhrer in the same breath, you Nazi scum, screamed Kirk. Fire phasers. Then he fired phasers. The German ship shook in its smoke, but it was not destroyed. Captain Puck and Commander Klum yelled out some swear words in German as their ship got hit by the Enterprise's phasers. And by the way, Heavenly pointed her finger at the screen, we did not kill your prized failed commandant. We are humane people, unlike you, and he is alive, and he has run away to the Klingon home worked. Our leader is not dead. Then he said some stuff in German, and the German ship activated its engines and sped away really fast into the distance. What did he say? Our universal translators cannot pick it up, yelled Kirk. Uhura looked very deep in thought as she translated in her brain, but Heavenly was fluent in all Earth languages, and so Fuck she off. Instantly understood what Puck and Klum were saying. He say that they must set a course for Klingon homeworld and save the filed marshals so they can take over the 24th century. And make sure everyone here is Nazi and eliminate all the not-Nazis. They plan to destroy the Klingons because they are not Aryans. I hate those Klingon bastards, but we cannot stand by while they are destroyed by evil Nazis from Earth's 20th past century. Yes, we cannot stand by while they commit yet another genocide with one J, two N's, and an S. Said Spock. It is illogical. And it is not morale. It's not a morale booster.
Genocide. Yelled Heavenly.
Set a course, Chekhov, for the Klingon homeworld, and I'm Fuck going off. To go down and soup up my spaceship so I can destroy all the bad guys. Then everyone cheered. Author's note. I hope you guys get Remembrance Day off. All of you, the Bave soldiers, on this day, especially those in World War I and World War II, who fought the Nazis. PLS, pray for them tonight.
Chapter 11, Wolf Granson of Mark. Author's note. Thanks, guys. This is a small chapter, but got some good cameos in it. I hope you like action. Or, I'm sorry, I hope you like Acton. Then the Enterprise went to Klingon. Yeah, that's right. Klingon homeworld. The Nazi ship kept blowing lots of weapons at the surfies. Excuse me?
Yep.
Oh, surface! There were big parts on fire. Lots of Klingons were dead already. There, they met Worf Grandpa of Maha, who was going to one day have a kid also named Worf, who would serve on the Enterprise D with Jean-Luc Picard, the greatest captain ever in the Federation. There was the Nazi people there at the Klingon homeworld. They got a communication from Worf Grandpa of Mog. Hi, my name is Worf Grandpa of Mog, and I'm president here. We are getting fired up by some really annoying human guys who say they are from a place called Germany. I guess they are from your Federation, so now we will go to war. No, we must not. We must work together to kill these evil Nazis. The Federation does not want them here. They are here because of a temporal anomaly. They are evil and they only like white guys from Germany, which is a nation that does not exist now. Also, they want to kill this beautiful girl, Heavenly, who is also a top scientist and a space captain. They are illogical, added Spock very solemnly. Vulcan homeworld want to kill them too, obviously. What? The hell?
He just,
Vulcan homeworld, whatever. Wow, a Vulcan and Klingon and Earth People Alliance. Who would ever think of it, said Worf. Let's get them, everyone, attack. Then the Enterprise and a couple of birds of prey with an A and a Vulcan ship that showed up was piloted by T-Paul. Who is T-Paul?
It's a rapper.
T-Paul. No. I'll start shooting at the Nazi ship that was still shooting at the Klingon plant. But the Nazi ship would not blow up. Fire on their engines. They will blow up, I know, because I helped design the ship, said Heavenly of the whole fleet. Then everyone did that, and the Nazi ship exploded into a million pieces. Yay, said Spock. Now we have rid ourselves of that despicable ship, said Kirk. Thank you, Heavenly. You are truly brilliant. This was all because of you.
Yes, indeed. That is illogical and true, said Spock. I will write a harp song dedicate to you all about the victory over the Nazis in space. There will be Klingon war songs written over you, said Worf, all over the space communication. You are so lovely, Heavenly. Have you ever considered coming to Klingon homeworld to teach us about the human space ways? I am a very powerful warrior, and I think you and I could be good friends if you want to stay here.
No, thank you.
It definitely says I'm a very powerful warrior.
Warrior.
I just like the idea that Worf here is just Wario.
The two would match.
He's Wario. Wario with a Klingon face.
Wario.
That sounds awful.
I'm not sure if Wario is his super ego or his id.
No. Just he's got like the Wario body. He looks exactly like Wario. He just has Worf's face. That sounds awful.
I don't think he could look any worse. Photoshop that. I really did not think he could look any worse.
I'm gonna Photoshop that. That sounds amazing.
Make that the podcast.
Hold on, I gotta take a note on that, yeah.
Make that the episode picture. I'm a very powerful warrior, and I think you and I could be good friend if you want to stay here. No thank you, said Heasonly. I wish to stay here on Enterprise as I got a really good friend here who I feel I have a future with. Then Kirk looked really excited, but Heavenly looked over at Spock. But Spock looked really sad and stared out the window and did not notice. That is okay. I will marry the Dax person anyhow, said Worf. Thanks for your help, T-Pole and Kirk. I guess I'm going to go eat some worms and have some blood wine to celebrate Varrock Dinky. Then, suddenly, there was a beep, a beep noise from the panel. There's two bees on that second beep. Chekhov looked confused a lot.
Chekhov's back!
Then someone gasped and he pointed at the view screen. Captain, look, it is a bird of prey with an A, but it is going to whop speed. That is not authorized takeoff. Oh no, said Worf Grandpa.
God damn it! Every time it's Worf Grandpa of Mog and I don't understand it. It's upsetting. Why is this whole title said every time?
Probably a
who is Mog and why is he the grandpa?
It's probably like a Smurf thing or something. It appears those evil Nazis got on the surface and managed to steal our new prototype ship. That is really fast and powerful. Where are they going with it? Quick and tell me, Sulu. I do not know, Captain, but it is not Sexter. 0-0-1. Our ship damaged,
what
sir.
What the fuck?
People overcome. We cannot follow them. And the surface is so damaged and so many Klingon killed that I can't go either. Sorry, guys, said Worf. You must help us get back our warship, Kirk. And if you do, then I will sign the Ketumer Accords. I, Poromice. Sulu, screamed Kirk. Follow those Nazis no matter what you do and as fast as you can. Scotty, get those engines as fast as they will go, and everyone else, buckle up. It's gonna be a rough ride.
All right, so that's the last chapter. Maybe we should do a criticism. Like, we'll both say one thing we enjoyed about this, yes. And then one thing that could use improvement. So I guess I'll start.
Yeah.
I liked the title chapters a lot. I think it was like chapter like 4?
The Porpoisal.
Yeah, Porpoisal. Fuck, that was real good. I really like the name of that, Porpoisal. Yeah. What was one thing you liked?
Well, I wish I could make it 2 things, but I'll try to keep it one. I love the eclectic appeal. You know, he brought in a lot of different people and contemporary figures that made the story feel relevant. And inside of that, with all these, with this complex pan of different ingredients for characters, we find we're actually battling for a greater good against the Nazis. So actually the enemies are teaming up. So all you have, all those mixtures getting together. I thought that was really special.
All right. So one thing I thought could use some improvement. I mean, we're not going to touch on the spelling because that's too easy a target.
Mm-hmm. That would be low bell.
Low bell. You know.
You want it to.
You know. No. You know what it is. We need some character arcs. Like pretty much no one evolved over the course of this 11 chapters. We got, you know, pretty much everyone stayed the same. They were just put in a situation and plot happened at them rather than them acting to further the plot.
Yeah.
That was consistent with their characters. So
yeah, this
I would also like to know if Chekhov's alive or not, or if he's some sort of reanimated zombie. Is he a ghost? Is he just dead? And did Chekhov ever exist and everyone's just hallucinating Chekhov?
That's a good,
that's a question we need answered.
There's some of those stories from like the 19th century Victorian literature where you wind up finding out at the end the person who was telling the story is this one you thought disappeared.
Yeah.
Turns out they were there the whole time telling their version of it.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see how this would come from Wario of Smog. Like how his version would come off. You know. Or if Heavenly was instead from like like the 30th century. What would we find out?
Yeah. All right, so what's one thing you think could use improvement?
I personally, I wanted to see more annotation. I was disappointed by the lack of that. You know, you have those few parts where it says, note, Heidi Klum isn't a Nazi in real life.
Right, okay.
That kind of thing, I appreciated that.
So what you're looking for is being told exactly how the characters are currently feeling or like, you know, just really like, because, you know, sometimes you get a little bit lost, right? And
yeah.
you need the author to directly tell you what exactly it should look like.
That's...
In a fewer words than the ones they were using to describe that scene earlier.
Yeah, like I you know...
Like with the rock and roll music, right? Remember they're like, imagine it's really slow rock and roll music and they come out with their guns in slow-mo.
Yeah, like yeah. That part was brilliant.
Yeah.
I wish they had more of that... More walking away from explosions, you know, that kind of thing.
Definitely.
And you extract what these contemporary figures are doing, and you relate it back to the story. But how do you get that involved in the story? That doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no dynamic. You know, so more annotation would be great. More whispering.
So what are we gonna rate this? What would you rate this story?
Honestly, I'll have to give it it's kind of tough love, but I'd say about a 7.5 out of 10.
Out of 10, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this an Indiana Jones 2 out of the 4 Indiana Jones movies. So not worse than, you know, obviously, it's not as bad as Kingdom of Crystal Skull.
Right.
Because that movie, you know, this is nowhere near that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as good as... The Last Crusade. There we go.
Yeah.
So it's Indiana Jones. So I like Indiana Jones and Last Crusade. You know, I know a lot of people don't. But I think it is superior to the second movie, which is just bad.
That's reasonable.
You know, I put it on par with Indiana Jones 2. Yeah.
That's a logical... astute,
you know, I think that's fair because this person clearly loves Indiana Jones.
Yeah. You can tell they were really rooting for him. And I was rooting for him, too.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, when he shapeshifted from being India Jones to...
Yeah, Indiana. No, look, India Jones, totally different person.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was Star Trek Nazis in Space, brought to us by Dark Vamp Angle 101 on fanfiction.net, so that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the candy heart icon.
Yes, the user profile picture is a candy heart that says, I love Jesus. And you know what?
Yeah.
I love Dark Vamp Angle 101.
I love them, especially around that time of the year. That's the reason for the season.
Yeah, definitely. All right.